Right. Good morning, church. How's everybody doing? You guys sound great. Let's give it up for our worship team. Did a fantastic job. Again, it's great to be here this morning. And again, if you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you to the Garden State Church. You know, we are one of nine different services that are going on in our tri-state area like this. And, you know, it's just great to be in the Garden State. Last week, Steve did a great job talking about our BBAs. You remember? That brave, bold action. You know, I made a brave, bold action. I took my wife out for the night. Not just the day, just the night. We went to see this comedian, Gaffigan, Jim Gaffigan. Guy's hilarious. And we laughed, we had a good time, and God is good. And I scored some points. Yeah. But before we jump into the lesson, I want us to be praying for our dear brother, Eric McNair. Eric's going to be having a surgery this Thursday. He's had a battle with cancer. So let's pray together, and then we'll jump right on into the word. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we again thank you so, so much that we can come to you, that you are alive and well, that you not only exist, Father, but that you actually have a plan for our lives. Father, we don't understand some of the things that we have to deal with and overcome, but you've allowed those things. You've put those things there. Please guide the hands of the surgeon as they work on Eric this week. Help the surgery to be a success. Help give him comfort as well as his family. And Father, we pray that you will just help them continue to give him the treatment that he needs. We love you. Again, we thank you. We pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week was the New Jersey Meet of Champions for indoor season for track and field. And one of my favorite events to watch is the 4x400. And so you got four members on your team, and they run around the track one time, and then they pass the baton to the next guy, and so forth and so on. And it's exciting because it's a relay, it's a race, and the ability to pass the baton smoothly gives you that opportunity to ultimately win that race. You know, Jesus had his race. Jesus ran his race. And that race included going to the cross. That was part of what God had called him to. And as he stretched out his arms on that cross and he gave up that last breath, you and I are the beneficiaries of a gracious and amazing God. In John 19, verse 28, the Bible says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of water, of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked it in a soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, he said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus gave up his spirit. He finished the race. His part, as I said, was dying on the cross, which brings you and I salvation, which brings you and I hope, which brings you and I peace, which brings you and I an actual relationship with Lord God Almighty. Isn't that exciting? He did his part, and you and I get to benefit. You know, one of the people that was impacted by Jesus's finishing his race was Saul. And in Acts 9, you could jot that down, verse 17 through 19. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And so Saul, who became Paul, grabbed the baton from Jesus, and he began to run his race. He began to run his part. He began to get that vision for the Gentile world and to begin to spread the gospel all over that known area and all over that known world. And then here we are today, 2,000 years later. The baton has been passed to us. If you're a disciple of Jesus, I want to remind you of something. You have won the race. You know, the thing about a race, 4x100, when that team wins, they all come together and they take what they call a victory lap. Now, usually it's the Jamaicans who win. I know Lewis was like, go ahead, say it, bro. But they have this victory lap. And it's amazing. And they do it with just so much zeal and pride and honor because they get to represent their country. And all of that hard work, all of that sweat, all of those tears, all of that training, it was well worth it. And they get that victory lap. You know, Jesus didn't take that victory lap. He said, you know, I got to go prepare a house for you guys. I got to prepare a place for you. And so I've done the work. Paul's done the work. The apostles done the work. And guess who gets to run the victory lap? We do. This morning, I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about two principles. Running to Jesus and running with Jesus. See, because Jesus finished the race. And therefore, he conquered sin, as Fred and Doreen talked about earlier. He did it through the cross. Our job is to continue with the baton, but not in a way that we're running to win. No, we need to finish. That's what we need to do. We've already won. We just need to finish our race. And the funny thing about that is everybody's race is different. This guy's got huge hurdles in his race. And you're like, boy, I'm glad I'm not running in that race. But then other people have different challenges and they got pitfalls and things that you can't, but everybody has their race. And you and I have to run our race. I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 11 and we'll start there. Matthew chapter 11 and it reads, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus invites us to come to him in this race that we're running. Why? He says, if you're weary, there any weary people in here? All right, we see a few. Are there any burdened people in here? Okay, we got a big yes on that one. He says, come to me. He says, I will give you rest. Do you remember what it was like trying to carry your own burdens? Trying to live life without God, Some of us, that's what we're doing. We're trying to do things on our own strength. We haven't learned how to rely on God. And it is possible to live and cast all your anxieties on God. It is possible to not worry about the future. But it's only through God that you and I can live that kind of life. That we can still have a peace and a tranquility that says, it's going to be okay. Because I know whom I belong to. Jesus not only paid the price on that cross, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Let's read this together. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it's great and amazing that Jesus died for our sins, but it's also good to know that he didn't just want to save our souls. He wanted to break the chains of sin in our lives. He wanted to help us overcome those bad habits that we just couldn't seem to change. He wanted us to know that we could not only be different, but we could actually exhibit the fruits of the Spirit that he lived with. That somebody could get on our last nerve and we could still remain calm. That we can learn how to be patient and gentle and not raise our voice when we're getting irritated. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Remember those days? Well, see, those days are a little distant for me now. Thank the Lord. But the fact is, he wants to set us free. I know some of us here, we're not free. We're wondering if we can change. We're wondering, do I have enough to get in the race and finish? Well, yes, you do. I remember thinking the same thing. I became a Christian at 20 thinking, I'm doing this for the rest of my life. I've never made a life commitment. Not sure how it's going to really work out. And here we are 28 years later, and a little grayer than we started. But here's the point. Running to Jesus. Church, we got to continue to run to Jesus. Parents, are you taking Jesus? Are you taking your kids to Jesus? Like the man in Mark chapter 9. He was done. He didn't know what else to do. But he brought him to Jesus. And I know figuratively we can't do that, but boy, we can pray and bring our kids to Jesus. And keep praying and keep begging and keep asking. We can bring our family members or our coworkers or whatever the situation is. Why? Because what we've believed and what we've experienced is that Jesus can fix it. And if anyone would open their hearts and open their lives to him, things can actually change. You know, it's funny, the last few months, we've had something difficult happen in our family. I think I shared before November, a car ran underneath our porch. And again, it was a blessing in disguise because it got damaged and it was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, we got some insurance and that's what that's all for. And, you know, we repaired things. And I was like, oh, we got a little extra here. Okay, we're going to have a good Christmas here in the Murdoch household. You want to hit the other side, anybody? But it's funny when everything's kind of going great and, you know, you got a lot or whatever, and then things start kind of trickling down. And then something happens, like this sound in the car, it was like tick, 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 tick. Now, we've had this Honda Odyssey for almost 9 years, and this sound was different. This sound was, there is something going on. And, you know, I kind of waited, and then I had my appointment. I took it in. And, you know, when you take the cars in and then they call you and they say, are you sitting down? It's not going to be a good conversation. Long story short, almost $10,000 in repairs. Oh, Lord, we need a new van. Well, Sari didn't want the van, so she wanted to be cool and, you know, we got something else. But it's funny because God was like, Russ, I got you. So we got this new used vehicle that had 900 miles on it. And I thought, this is not normal. But I'm so glad for the brothers who kind of gave me some advice. And God hooked us up with a little Nissan Rogue. And I thought, you know what? What am I worrying for? See, we got to constantly remember God has us in the palm of his hand. He is not going to let us be tempted beyond something we can bear, and he's not going to overwhelm us by something in life. But he is going to test us, church, and we need to embrace that. But my encouragement is that we got to continue to remember words like Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says in verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about our struggles and we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the penalty, received the sentence of death, but this, here's Paul's perspective, happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. You know, I'm realizing, especially when challenges happen, God's wanting me to rely on him. Because sometimes I think I can take it. It's like, really, Russ? Yeah. Sometimes I forget to pray. And then you pray, and then it works out, and you're like, oh, man, I wish I would have remembered that first. Whether you're a Christian or wanting to become a Christian, you know, our worst enemy is the self. Relying on us, looking to our own thinking, leaning on our own understanding. It gets us in trouble every single time. But if we remember Jesus' words in John 8:28, he says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. You know, this is one of the things I'm learning in my Jesus leadership is I've got to be God reliant like him. He didn't speak on his own. He didn't do this. He was so reliant on God. That's why it was easy for God to be glorified in his life, because it wasn't about him. Jesus ran to God. He learned to rely on him. And so should you and I. Let me ask you a question. Are you running to God? Or are you running to something else? Or are you running ahead of God because you got better plans and ideas? Well, let's decide that we're going to run to him and let him guide us so that we can become all that he desires for us to become. Church, remember, he says, I have plans for you. Plans not to harm you, but give you a hope and a future. We're going to see that more and more as we surrender ourselves to him. Secondly, let's run with Jesus. Turn over to Luke 19, verse 10. Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus says here, very short passage. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Well, Jesus exemplified that, right? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul got the message. Paul, we know, was on the road to Damascus, studied the Bible there with Jesus, obeyed his word, surrendered to his will, to God's will. Ananias comes, touches him, scales fall from his eyes. He repents, he's baptized, and then he gets on this mission. And we know he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Came from Paul. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, Paul says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having a law, I became like one not having a law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having a law. To the weak, I became weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. You hear that? Paul ran with Jesus. And when he got that baton and he took off, he understood the mission. Brothers and sisters, this is a part of our Christian life that I believe we gotta recapture that zeal. Win some. What are we talking about, Russ? You know how amazing it is when you see someone hear the word of God and they literally change their minds. And then they change their attitude and they begin to act differently. Or you see it happen in a marriage and the husband and wife begin to learn how to respect each other and honor each other. Or you see it with a parent and a child, where this parent was large and in charge, and now they're saying, I'm sorry, to their kids. And the kids are almost falling out because they're like, is that my parent? The word is powerful. And the more you and I see it, we believe it can change the human heart like nothing else. I want to show you something. So, there's our dear sister, Dr. Gill, in the middle. These are three disciples in the campus ministry in the church in Havana, Cuba. We got any Cubans in the house today? Okay, one, two. There we go. You get a kick out of this. So, the Gills were visiting Cuba for a little getaway, and they visited the church, and God decided to speak. And so I want to read what this brother wrote about this situation. The sister next to Mackie became a Christian back in May of 2018. And here's what he said. He and his girlfriend noticed that Maria, the sister there in the middle, went from slacking off and doing terribly in medical school to paying attention in class and getting top grades. So they queried her one day, and she told them that she had begun going to a church where she was taught about being like Jesus in all you do. She realized she had to repent at school. They said they wanted to come with her to church, and so they too came to church, and they too became disciples. So it was three of them in medical school. Then they became five disciples in the campus ministry. And the girl in the pink blouse is the fifth disciple. She was only 6 months as a disciple when she took this photo. And so now they are building a medical ministry in Cuba. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? But you know what's more awesome about that awesomeness? If you know Mackie's story, she became a Christian while in medical school. And then she helped, you know, people like Gloria and Maxine and Judy Mason. And so when Mackie was talking to this young lady, it was like it took her back to what God did in her life. And this lady, this young sister's asking her question. Well, how did you do this? And how did you do that? And how did you make it through this? And it just kind of filled her up again. And it made a connection from Rutherford to Cuba. But isn't that what God's always doing? It's amazing that God wants us with him to do his will. That he's put us where we are, where we live for specific reasons. And the only way sometimes we're going to realize it is by opening our mouths And by finding out, well, who is it that God wants in his kingdom? Who is it that he wants to be encouraged? Who is it that needs to hear some good news? But he's chosen you and I. Maria's light shined so bright that these students said, "What are you doing?" Is that not what the Christian life is all about? Not that we're awesome. We know who we are apart from God. But our God is awesome. And it will be so evident as we walk with him, church. I want to ask you, is there somebody you could have a conversation with this week? Think about that person. Write down that. Who can I have a conversation with this week about my faith or about an invitation to Women's Day or about what have you? But I really believe if we would really continue to remember not only who we are, but if we would have conversations with people just like, hey, how's it going? My favorite line when I don't know what to say is, hey, do you have the time? Even though I got a watch on. Just to get me rolling. But let's have conversation. I don't know who that is that you wrote down, but let's do that. But imagine, church, imagine if every small group was doing that. We're having conversation. And then we come back and say, look at what God did here. Oh, you know, God knew you because of this and that, and you guys were related, and it's like all of this stuff is happening. I want to challenge us as a church. Let's have some conversations. Let's open up our mouths to see what God wants to do with the conversations that we'll have and where it would go. As I said, I can only imagine how Mackie felt talking to this medical student who'd just become a disciple. And encouraging her, yeah, now it's been 30-something years, and I'm married with 3 kids. And how much hope and vision that gave this young woman. Older woman teaching the younger women. Older men teaching the young. Isn't that what it's supposed to be like? You know, when we run around on that victory lap in this arena of life, facing the different challenges, facing the different trials. We should do it with full knowledge that the race has already been won. That no matter how we succeed or fail, our eternal salvation is guaranteed. It is secure because of Christ's victorious work on that cross. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let's continue to learn to run to Jesus. Asking each other, hey, how's it going? What are you hearing from God's word? What are you working on? What can I pray for you for? And please keep praying for me. Secondly, let's run with Jesus. Let's not get ahead of him. Let's not think that we can do this on our own strength. Let's admit that. But let us understand, we have limited time, church. You know, Sari was doing a class and she was saying, yeah, Russ, I was thinking about, you know, I'm talking about, yeah, we're in the second half of life. And I was like, honey, I don't want to bust the bubble, but we're in like third quarter. We're in the third quarter, honey. Actually, probably about 3 minutes left before fourth quarter. But however much time we got, we're going to pass that baton, church. See, my question is, when we pass it to the next generation, what is it going to look like in 2050 here in New Jersey? I don't know what it's going to look like, but what I want to do is I want to do my part. And I want us to all do our parts. And I want God to be glorified and one day hear him say, Russ, well done, good and faithful servant. To God be the glory. Amen.